You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Thursday, December 7, 2023. Thank you for downloading. Lots to get to today on the program, including a miniature Capital Golf Gang regarding the governing bodies and their rollback of the golf ball starting in 2028. Mark your calendars. That's for the pros, by the way. For us amateurs, us hackers, it won't be till 2030 that they roll the ball back. They say you and I, who hit the ball 250 maybe on a good crack, aren't going to see more than 5, maybe 10 yards of difference. Boo. Boo rollback. We'll talk to John Ronas and Buddy Christensen about that and some other things in sports. So if you're like, oh, golf and football season, I got some football stuff for you today as well. But first, I have been buried in emails regarding Andy, and I love it. Keep the feedback coming. I love it all. That said, I feel bad that I cannot get back to everybody as quickly and as thoroughly as I normally would. So I'm just going to try to read as many as I can here that makes sense, and then we'll move right on. This one from Doug Muldowney. Andy is great, and I always like him on the show. Sure, he had said some preposterous stuff last week, and I also don't agree with all of his takes. I could give a fuck. None of it matters. Everyone needs to just move on. Then there's this. Mike Cox, keep Andy. Whether I agree or disagree with Andy, he's become a staple of my Mondays. Leave him alone. Also, for fuck's sake, there is no need to ever bring up Lynn Elliott ever again. Thank you very much, Zabe. That's all. Michael Cox, KCMO in Kansas City. I'm sorry for bringing that up. This one from Jeff Sharon. Keep polling. Zabe, longtime subscriber. Don't let the snowflakes get to you. Keep Andy on weekly or as much as you want. Yes, it was ridiculous what he said, but a lot of lefties, he hadn't thought it through. That's what I said. You can't reason yourself out of an opinion that you didn't reason yourself into. And he just kept barreling forward, Leroy Jenkins style. I love that. Leroy Jenkins. This one from Eric. Andy, again. Zabe, since you asked in today's podcast, please keep Andy coming weekly. Yes, his doubling down on college scholarships as slavery was idiotic, and his walk back was very much akin to the joke about the guy being caught in bed with another woman who initially denies it, then becomes indignant and blames it on his wife when she remains upset. Having said that, I still like hearing the two of you bantering about sports and the radio industry. Call it nostalgia if you like. But since I know it won't last forever, I'd appreciate the current schedule versus a less frequent one. Regardless, I prefer you steer clear of any political discussions with Andy as much as possible. This is not because I mind it when you discuss politics. I also don't mind my viewpoints being challenged with rational, factual, and unemotional arguments. But with Andy on these sorts of issues, there's none of that. His positions lack evidence of nuance, introspection, or perspective when it comes to the quasi-religious orthodoxy that he obviously subscribes to. This makes any related conversation frustrating and one note. Thanks for asking and keep up the great work. Then there's this. Don't bench Andy. James O'Donnell. Zabe, I've been a longtime listener, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to hear my resume, but I just wanted to add my tiny drop into the please don't overreact to this Andy thing bucket. Sure, I can think of a podcast or two where I've simply decided to stop listening because a host went off the rails with a strong, opinionated, and to me, crazy take. This is not one of those times. At least not for me, anyway. Andy is my favorite guest of the week, and speaking selfishly, I would hate to see his poor moment negatively impact my podcast listening future. Thanks for everything over the years. Okay, well said. Patrick Hill. Hello, Steez. As far as Andy goes, liberals don't apologize. I'd love to hear his take on anti-Semitism or the liberal Northeast private university campuses. On second thought, I really wouldn't. See, that's what's funny. I am standing in front of that locked basement door of what's going on at these fucking insane campuses, where the heads of Harvard and MIT and others are saying, well, calling for the genocide of Jews is not hate speech unless it manifests in actual physical violence. Really? Really? This is the square we are now on. It's so tempting because Andy is very proud of being Jewish and being part of, you know, the tribe, as he and others call it. I don't think Andy is very spiritual, having known him all these years, but he's very proud of both being in the tribe, the people, the culture, the traditions, soup to nuts. I would love to know what he thinks. I would love to know if he can rationalize it somehow in his head. But I'm afraid to open that door. I don't even know if I want to like peek in there. Anyway, in other news, says Patrick, I still have cable TV because it's enough variety and I'd like to turn channels with my remote. Click, 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 click. I've got no need for the red zone since I'm not much of an NFL fan. Speaking of streaming, so I streamed the Wisconsin-Michigan State game on Peacock. Had to resubscribe to Peacock after my wife said, are we using Peacock? And I said, nah, not really. And she said, okay, why don't you cancel it? And I said, no problem. Canceled. Then she's like, oh, wait, there was that one show. And I go, oh, you know what? Guess what? No, actually, I said, honey, I'm sorry to say this. I'm going to have to resubscribe because the Big Ten has jumped in bed with NBC/Peacock. And so they're going to carry a lot of games there. I need to have it. And she's like, okay, fine. So I told her, you got the full run of Peacock for whatever the fuck is on it. Because I'm back in, I have to pay the freight. And so the game was only on Peacock. Badgers won, by the way. Izzo has now lost to Wisconsin 3 in a row at the Breslin Center. Unheard of. Michigan State was ranked 4 coming into the season, and it's gone completely south. They're 4-4 already. And Tom Izzo, great guy, can't stand him. Cannot stand him. Great guy, though, great coach. He said, I don't know what's wrong. Summer didn't go right. Season hadn't gone right. I don't know what happened. Anyway, I'm watching the game. I think the streaming is tough on basketball. It was not smooth, and it was clear because the actual graphic on the screen, the score bug, the graphic was clear, bright, not pixelated, sharp, but that's a stationary thing that's presented on the screen, so it doesn't require as much computing because it's not moving anywhere. Basketball is always the toughest of the sports to give the best picture in a digital form because there's more motion. There's 10 people running around plus the referees, and the camera is panning back and forth. Football is far more static. Even though there's more bodies on the field, the overall picture is not as challenging in terms of compressing it and sending it to you and then delivering it in a nice visual fashion. I found the actual quality of it to be unacceptable. And I'm here at the apartment in Milwaukee where I get Boku internet. So it's not like out on the ranch in Virginia where the internet's spotty at times. This was plenty of internet, and it did not look good to me. So does anyone else have that same perception that sometimes, especially with basketball, the streaming picture, while sharp, has a hard time looking good, smooth, visually? Would like to know. He also says, does Patrick Hill on guitar, on technology, I've played guitar for the last 40 years, and I prefer electric due to my taste in rock and metal. With that comes analog versus digital technology with guitar amps and pedals, and I've tried some digital options, but I always went back to analog. Digital gives you more settings. Yes, the dreaded settings. But the nuance and sound is not discernible to me. It's also very frustrating getting the settings right. Yes, I was this close to packing up the brand new Rodecaster Duo and sending it right back to Best Buy. You know why? Because I turn it on today when you hear the mini Capital Golf Gang later in the podcast. Couldn't get it to see the memory card that I knew was in there that it should have recognized to say, okay, I'm going to record this blah, blah, blah onto this micro SD card. Couldn't get it to see it for love nor money. Turned it off, turned it on, reboot, jiggled it, went into the settings, completely frustrated, probably half an hour of doing this, about to take it away, and I said, let me try one more thing. Hooked it up to the laptop, did the companion app for Rode, restarted that, plugged it in, unplugged it one more time. Suddenly works. I do think this device is too robust. It is too complicated. I fear that I'm going to have some setting deep inside the weeds on this that's not right, that's going to mess everything up. I still may return it, but it's very complicated. The boys and girls, the engineers at Rode down there in Australia, really listen to every nerd out there that does any kind of podcast, live stream, band performance, who said, hey, could you put this in there? And they go, okay, sure, yeah, all right, we'll take a note of that. Everything is in here. Which you would think the more stuff that's in there, the more capability, the better. Especially if the price point is still reasonable. And this is a $500 device, so it's expensive. But still, too much can be too much at times. I would like it simpler. It's going to stay at least for another day. Then there's this on Andy. John Keller. F Andy. I will never listen to a Zabecast that has Andy Poland ever again. He's a douche. The fact that he acknowledges that screaming at his wife and daughter is an ordinary day in his household is so telling. He's so passive-aggressive with nothing to offer. Poland reminds me of those gals in that ESPN betting commercial you talked about, and he appeals to zero customers. He's actually repulsive. Okay. Well, we've lost John Keller on Mondays, and for that, yeah. All right, let's get to some other stuff, non-email and non-golf related. Nobody said competing in big-time college football was going to be cheap. The University of Wisconsin is getting a new field at Camp Randall Stadium. They have a synthetic turf field currently that looks beautiful and perfect. What's the problem then? Well, it's not heated. Okay, well, it's never been heated. So what's the problem? Football season ends at Camp Randall usually by the end of November when it's cold, but not too cold. Well, they're putting in a new heated field so they will have the ability to host playoff games in the future. Cue my Jim Moore up. Playoffs? Don't talk to me about playoffs. I think I now do that bite better than the actual bite. Yes, they're putting it in now because you can never be too sure. They still have to make the 12-team playoffs starting next year, which is not going to be easy. And they still have to be good enough to host a game. I don't know if there's an NCAA bylaw that says you would not be allowed to host a game at a certain temperature if you don't have a heated field, or if they just said, you know what, while we're spending all this money on buying wide receivers and getting a quarterback in the transfer portal, what's another $5.5 million for a heated field? Again, nobody said this was going to be cheap. Should a quarterback who's injured and done for the year be sitting on the bench helping the guy who's in trying to play the game in his replacement? Depends, I guess, on who you are. People are now comparing Joe Burrow in a sling, sitting there with a tablet, sitting right next to Jake Browning for the Bengals in their upset win on Monday night against the Jaguars, versus Deshaun Watson for the Browns, who was up in a suite next to his girlfriend out for the season watching the Browns instead. It's an easy comparison. It's one that people are going to like to make. I would only caution this. I think there could be an argument that says, do you really want the starter, you know, crowding in and like giving you tips like, oh, I think you should do this or look out for that. There's already coaches helping the backup do his thing. And I guess in the case of, you know, this past week with Joe Flacco there, what's Deshaun Watson going to tell Joe Flacco? Joe Flacco has a ring. So while Joe Flacco might appreciate some things that Deshaun would have had to offer, it may not have been relevant. It's a piece of very low-hanging fruit that if you still hate Deshaun Watson, it's easy to clobber him for. NBA Cup. So we're down to the Final Four in Vegas Thursday. Bucks, Pacers, Pelicans, Lakers. Championship is on Saturday. That's the only extra game that'll be part of the schedule. Look, it's fine. It's on the landscape. It's not going away. I was trying to think of things that have been added to sports that have been then taken away because the powers that be said, nah, this is not really working. The list is very small, if it exists at all. When something expands, like no league has ever contracted, the playoffs have never involved fewer teams where they've gone backwards in that regard. Seasons have never gotten shorter. New wrinkles that at first were kind of ridiculed or like, really? FedEx Cup playoffs or the NASCAR playoffs. These new wrinkles, when the draft was made to be a traveling draft in the NFL, they didn't stop that saying, yeah, this is not worth it. Let's just take it back to New York City, Radio City Music Hall and be done with it. No, they're making it bigger and better. And they're expanding it over more days, which brings us to the NBA. The NBA is apparently going to go to a two-day NBA draft. Okay, that's 2 days in late June. I won't be watching the NBA draft. Even though once upon a time, man, I loved the NBA draft because it involved college players that I had spent the previous several months watching who were usually seniors, if not juniors at worst, enter the NBA. And you kind of said, oh, wow, wonder how he's going to be. Now it's almost like a European expansion draft because that's where the bulk of so many great players are coming from. But Adam Silver says the NBA is moving toward a two-night draft. As far as the NBA Cup goes, look, the games have been, according to all who watch the NBA, at a higher tempo and intensity than a regular November or early December game would be. And if that's the case, that's wonderful. The courts, though, are an abomination. But I understand why they do it. It's flashy, it's gaudy, it's impossible not to glance at a TV in a bar or somewhere and go, oh, must be a cup game. Look at the court. Oh, my God, the court, for God's sakes. Non-sports news. Amy Robach and TJ Holmes, the fired, and I don't want to say disgraced, that's a bit too much, but the fired hosts of Good Morning America, who are having a out-of-wedlock affair with each other while both on the air together, have a podcast now. Why not? That's podcasting. I'm sitting here on a podcast, my own podcast right now. It's the lowest rung of, well, you could do a podcast. Been fired? Need something to do? Going to try to make some money on it? Yeah. The podcast is called the Amy and TJ Podcast. Very creative. I like it. First episode talks about the aftermath of them being outed as illicit lovers and their being fired. Robach, who survived cancer, said there were times she wanted to die and didn't even want to get out of bed because she was so afraid of the next headline that was going to come out. It's quite a statement from a cancer survivor. Meanwhile, TJ Holmes was so distraught at one point, he wasn't answering his phone, and Robach had to go rush to his Manhattan apartment, break in with the help of the doorman, and found him lying catatonic on the bed. She thought he was dead, jumped on him, felt he was still warm. He was just motionless in a state of shock. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. The two say they're stronger than ever, though, still committed as a couple, moving ahead, planning a life together, and they got a podcast, so God bless them. I give it 20 episodes, maybe. Remember the Meghan Markle podcast with Prince Harry? 12 episodes, and they got paid like $3 million for that. See, the problem with this, got to keep showing up every day, and you got to have something to say. Okay, you've told us about what happened in the aftermath of getting fired and the affair. Great. What's next? Football picks? Going to get DraftKings or FanDuel to sponsor you? Okay, my underdog play of the week, which, by the way, trash books. You should be using MyBookie. That's MyBookie.com, everybody. Promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. The best place to get your sweet, sweet action. Amy Robach, who's beautiful, was married to Andrew Shue, brother of Elizabeth Shue, one of the most beautiful people in the world. He's beautiful. His sister's beautiful. Robach's beautiful. Their kids together are also beautiful. So the pretty people keep winning. And then there's this. Kim Jong-un is begging his citizens to get to fucking. Sorry if your kids were in the car. You probably didn't expect that one coming. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has started crying at a recent appearance in public as he begged North Koreans to have more babies in a speech. North Korean birth rates are very low, well below the so-called sustainability threshold of 2.0 kids per family. He said, preventing a decline in birth rates and good child care for all of our housekeeping duties we need to handle while working with mothers, Kim said. So yeah, I can understand why not having kids would be a thing that those living in the modern dystopian gulag state of North Korea wouldn't be excited for. Who wants to bring another life into that? On the other hand, if the dear leader, who has been known for acts of savagery against his own citizenry at the slightest of missteps, if he says, get to baby making, better get your pants off. That's all I'm saying. Quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to the boys, the nerds on the Capital Golf Gang. And I say nerds with the utmost respect and love. John Ronas and Buddy Christensen on the USGA and the RNA saying, stop hitting that golf ball so far. You are listening to the ZABEcast. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Four!
Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle. Then it started.
Half of the Capital Golf Gang is assembled now on this momentous Wednesday in the game of golf. The rollback has been announced. Say hello to John Ronis and Buddy Christensen. Boys, good afternoon. Happy rollback day. I cannot wait. I've got my calendar marked for Jan 1, 2028, is it?
Yeah.
Drives will fly a little less far, and the game we all love will be saved from the evils of flying at 235 on a good drive.
You said happy rollback day?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. It's the dumbest thing ever. I'm not going to get completely off the rails as far as we're going to try not to get off the rails as far as being nuclear about it. But here's how I would summarize what the governing bodies have done. It's akin to a wife who is nagging her husband. They're living in a house and there's some kids having a rager party next door because the neighbor's parents are gone and it's really loud. And the wife is like, are you going to do something? Listen to them over there. Go say something. And you as the husband try to say, what good is it going to do? Like, what is really going to happen? Like, and she's like, well, do something. So the governing bodies had to go over to the other house. Hey, could you guys keep it down a little bit? Yeah, no problem. And they're going to turn it down for 5 minutes. And then they're just going right back to raging. And then the husband can say, well, I went over there and I told him something. And nothing is really going to change. The whole thing about this rollback is, they acknowledge that swing speeds, which has really driven most of this distance gain, are going to continue to go up. So governing bodies live to do one thing, that's govern. And when enough influential people can cry loud enough to go, what are you going to do about this? Look how long everyone's hitting it now. Well, now they're doing something. There, that's the end of my official stance. Ronis, you're going to have first crack at this. And then Buddy's going to weigh in on his end. What do you say?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing here? It's nonsensical. It's as I would say, unacceptable. But more than anything, it's unnecessary. So, yes, you know, when we're dealing with the game of golf, like, are these governing bodies concerned about the game of golf, the enjoyment of the game of golf? Part of it is being able to hit the ball up in the air, carry it a certain distance. That's the excitement about the game of golf. The not so exciting part of the game of golf, which everyone should be working on, is getting the ball in the hole for the score. But the exciting thing, the people that gets people into the game, the thing that gets people into the game is hitting the ball right with some distance. So now all of a sudden it's cutting it back. Well, that's for the average person. For someone like me, who's been so excited about how equipment and the golf ball and everything has made the game more fun for me, and as I'm aging, I'm still able to keep some of the distance that I had when I was younger. Now, all of a sudden, to roll it back 10, 15, 20 yards, now what? Now I have to go up another tee,
they say
things like that.
They say it won't be that much for you. By the way, happy birthday. Thank you. As you age and you get rekindled with your love of the game that you were so good at as a youngster in college at UConn, it's not going to be that much for you. Or so says the experts. But I'm dubious of that, buddy. They say, oh, for the average amateur who is a single digit, he might lose 5 to 6 yards on his drive, according to testing.
Yes. A couple things. I mean, one thing, they say 2028, and if I read it right, 2030 before everyday people have to really right.
2028 for the pros, 2030 for the rest of us schlubs. So I should remark my calendar, 2030.
Unless you go on tour by 2028. I'll be
60. We'll be 62, Ronas, in 2030. God help us.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it from an administrative standpoint as well. And the counterfeit market is going to be fascinating. Like, I want to get involved in the counterfeit market. I think I'm going to put some money in it.
Hold that thought. I redirected Buddy off his point. Buddy, go ahead. The floor is.
So I do think, I mean, yes, it's 5 yards off the tee, but it's also a few yards off your iron coming in, right? Now I'm hitting a longer iron already, and now I got to hit a little bit more of an iron. So it affects us more than that. And I think 5 to 6 yards does and should scare us more than 9 or 11 yards on tour.
Right.
I think it even though we may not equate it as that important, it is. But more than that, where's the advancement of where things are going to go between now and 2028? That's what's interesting, too, is maybe they're going to make up all that yardage somewhere else in other equipment, because things are advancing. So I do understand it from that standpoint of, you know, where is this going with all these the technology that they can use to figure out how to better make the equipment and the golf ball is pretty amazing. So yeah. I get it from that standpoint. It's the timing seems terrible in that golf's in such a good spot. Now all of a sudden we're dealing with a couple really odd and I think bad news situations with some of the live stuff and now this rollback. It just doesn't sound right.
The powers that be have failed to do the two most important things in this whole thing. One is identify the exact problem and why it is a major problem that needs addressing. Every argument that says, well, here's the problem, is the biggest straw man I've ever heard. Oh, all the expense of adding new tees to courses. Number one, it's Augusta that's had to buy some land and build a couple new tees. That's about it. It's not like anyone else is really doing that. Secondly, as you guys know, especially you, Mr. Ronas, as a director of golf at a facility, everything costs money, maintaining a golf course. Redoing a bunker lining costs more than building a new tee.
Yeah.
And you've got about 80 of those that you got to worry about on the golf course. So enough of this nonsense of, oh, it's going to cost so much money to build some more tees. Nobody's building new tees, and there's other things that cost money. And as far as the classic courses, well, we want to be able to have the classic courses be relevant like they were back in the day, to which I go, oh, so you're going to have them play in tweed jackets with a feathery? Because that's where they were.
It's the water, Dave.
What is Gary Player's the water? The water, water these courses.
And by the way, if it's 11 yards, we're rolling the ball back 3%. 3%.
Yeah,
tour average being 300 yards. So, 11 yards, yeah, 3.5%. I mean, what's the purpose of that?
If you're talking about these awesome venues being taken out of the mix because they're not long enough, well, they played the Open at Marion in Philly, and it was the lowest scoring Open in a long time. It was very short. Exactly. The reason you didn't want to go back there is because they had no place for the corporate tents.
Right.
For the park. Because that's how they determine major sites, acreage for the corporate tents and the merch, not the classicness of the course. So there are all straw man arguments. And then on the back end, I have asked some of my friends who are in favor of the rollback saying, so what does victory look like? So this is a military question that's often asked. So what does victory look like? So you roll the ball back. It worked, quote unquote, the way you wanted to. What does it look like? Tell me the benefits are going to flow in now that the top players in the game are carrying it that Ludvig Åberg now carries it 315 instead of 330. So on a 490-yard par four, he now has, instead of 140 in, my math is never very good, 160 in, he's now got 175. So instead, buddy, of a 8-iron in, he's got a 7-iron? And probably not even a 7-iron.
Well, and yeah, probably not. And the other thing is, he's probably got something else in there that can get another 10 yards out of that drive if he really needs it, right?
If he wanted it, right.
Yeah, and so we don't. We're hitting it as hard and as far as we possibly can. But I think if you took the tour, Marion, perfect example, like you tighten that up to small fairways, maybe slow the fairways down a little bit, and then you make it tough around the greens. These guys, that scares them more than anything.
Which they did.
And it's a temporary, you know, you can always widen the fairways back out for the membership after a major event is held there. But, you know, my other question, when we take a look at all, you know what? I lost my train of thought. Keep going, buddy. I'll get what I'm coming back to.
End of it. So you got places like Marion that held it. It was great. It was hard as Chinese trigonometry. And they did it because it was tight. It was tricky. The rough was super high. And they had a couple very, very hard holes, a 230-yard par three. 18 is classically long and difficult. And was long and difficult for Justin Rose, who ended up winning. Olympic Club is not very long, but with its sloped fairways and teensy, tiny greens, they still hold opens there, and it's not a big deal. So really, I don't even see what victory looks like.
Well, so far, the point that I thought about was, when you see the leaderboard, how are the scores listed on the leaderboard?
By score, not
by under par.
Yes.
So what's wrong with making par 72s, par 70s, par 68s, for that matter?
Great.
So that at the end of the day, you still have the same amount under par or more or less under par.
Right.
Because the course, theoretically, to par got significantly longer. Yet you didn't affect the 99% of the people who enjoy the game. So they're not listing that he shot 68. They shot 5 under.
Right.
Or 4 under. So what's wrong with a par 68?
Another great point. The scoring average on tour over the years has barely budged because the distance gains have been mitigated by trickier, more lightning fast and rock hard greens.
Yes.
And so it just, and then on top of it, the other argument that is a straw man, well, we want there to be skill involved, that we think the distance is taking skill out of the game, to which I say, so show me the long drive slappies who are on ESPN4 at midnight out in Mesquite hitting at 410. Which one of those guys has won an event lately? Because all the good players who hit it long are still going to be the good players when they hit it a little less long. There's not any circus freaks winning tournaments only because the ball goes too far. The best players are still the best players.
Not to mention, I would argue that when you hit it longer, the percentage that you can hit it off is decreased because that ball goes further offline.
It's in the air forever. Mm-hmm. I remember one time at the Potomac Cup at Rocky Gap in Maryland, there's a downhill par five, great driving hole in the front nine, okay? And it's a super launch tee box, right? And we had one guy who was on the Maryland team, Dave Anselm, who did compete in long drive contests from time to time, and so he would get up there on that tee box at that year's event, and he would just let it go. And I remember standing there watching him once, and he hit an absolute rocket. And it looked great for a long, long time in the air, Mr. Ronis. But guess what? It just stayed in the air, stayed in the air, stayed in the air, and it just kept drifting. It just kept yawing ever so slightly.
Yep.
And it ended up off the fairway in an impossible lie.
Sure.
So that's another thing that's in the equation. But again, the bodies listened to enough people who were bitching about it and did something because they were told, go to the neighbor's house, tell them to turn that music down, drive the ball less far, and save the day. So they've gone and done that. The tours didn't want it. The manufacturers didn't want it. They were hoping for bifurcation and the local model rule ball. They didn't get that. So here we are. So what's going to happen, buddy? You as a guy, founder of Golfdom Golf and Tyson's, now in an advisory role, but been in the golf equipment retail business for a long time. What's going to happen on the retail side?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. The closest thing I can think, I mean, we had the wedge rollback 5, 6, 10 years ago, whatever that's been.
Meaning going from V grooves to, or square grooves to V grooves?
Yeah. So that was to eliminate some spin there. And I don't know that really affected tour players, but whatever. We kind of all forgotten about that.
Ronis, you're shaking your head. That didn't.
Not a spec. Okay. Not a spec.
Yeah. And 0.83 COR was the other big one when Callaway came out with the 0.86, and actually TaylorMade had one. The minute that the USGA announced it, we had to pull all the TaylorMades off the shelf. Callaway kind of fought it for a little bit. Eventually, they backed down on it.
All right, real quick for the non-golf nerds out there, COR is coefficient of restitution. It measures the springiness of the face of a golf club, of like a wood, a driver, or a three wood. And the number refers to some calculation about if it's beyond this much springy, it's illegal.
And they've put it into other sports. They put it into baseball and the baseball bats and things for safety purposes. So it's, you know, it's not a big deal, and I'm fine with that. But, you know, again, it's unnecessary for the average player to now, again, not chirping into Buddy, but when do we stop buying the traditional ball?
Well,
do we buy the new ball as it comes out and wait for it to happen? How do we manage this in a tournament situation?
It's
a mess.
Great questions. Yeah, they said
we're going to play in a tournament December 31st, 2029 with the old ball, and then January 1st, 2030, from what I understand, with a new ball. And I don't think anyone's going to play the old ball until they have to play the new ball. But back to the COR, the reason I bring that up is the manufacturers stood behind the USGA relatively quickly on that one. I'm not so sure they will on the golf ball one. That's one that...
You mean currently?
What's that?
You say currently some manufacturers may go rogue still?
I don't know. No, right now they won't go rogue, but I don't know that they're going to come out. Like the next day, TaylorMade came out and said, we fully support the USGA and their decision to roll back the COR issue, and was fully supportive. This hits home a little bit differently, and it hits, you know, Titleist, obviously, from a golf ball standpoint, but Callaway, TaylorMade, Bridgestone, Srixon, they're all putting a lot of emphasis on golf ball sales, and this affects them. So I don't know how they're going to react to it, which will ultimately play in this somehow, some way. But, you know, if they decide...
They said, believe it or not, I believe it's Mike Wan said this. He said that apparently some 30% of golf balls now will still conform in 2028, 2030.
I read something like that, and I also read the tour professional from 20 years ago would not conform.
Right, the Titleist tour professional, which used to be the standard ball, would somehow not conform. Okay, so that's going to add, Ronis, even more mayhem. And you being a guy with boots on the ground at the courses as a golf professional, you see this kind of bickering all the time. In fact, I was in your office one day when there was a rules dispute that came rolling in.
Yeah.
And it seemed pretty tense. And I said to you, wow, that seems like a tense one. You go, just another day running an event.
Every day.
And so
every day it's something to complain about. And So what am I going to do? Take a magnifying glass to a ball to see if it's conforming because it has the proper star on it or something like that? I mean, there's going to be so many counterfeit balls out there that there's no way that I'm going to be able to tell under certain conditions. It's, again, maybe it's not. Here's the argument. Oh, well, it's not going to be a big deal. So if it's not a big deal, then don't change it.
Yeah, right. If it's not right, they can't have it both ways. It won't be a big deal. Rory, who, I'm sorry, Ronis, I'm finally out on Rory. It kills
me. Not out on him, but I'm leaning in the wrong direction because this is a stupid one to get behind for Rory. Rory should just back out of everything and just play golf.
Yeah. He should be like, dumb idea, but I don't control it. Good luck.
Yeah.
I'll see you out in the middle of the fairway, 320 from the tee.
Right.
That's where I live. No, he said the average player on Twitter, he said this on Twitter, he goes, the average player won't miss 5 or 10 yards. And I thought, that's very Marie Antoinette of you. Let him eat cake. You're not going to miss the yardage. Oh, easy for you to say, Mr. McIlroy.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm going to miss a yardage because, again, a par five, if it's 15 yards off the tee for me, and then it's 5 yards off of an iron or maybe 8 yards off of a hybrid, I've just added 30 yards to a hole. And when you take a look at it, it doesn't seem crazy, but psychologically, when I step up to a par four and it's 399, oh, okay, reasonable. I can maybe birdie this hole. When it's 417.
Oh, my God, I'll never get home.
Right. Right.
Well, they'll say, Ronis, move up, old man. Happy birthday, 55 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I think I get to it 55.
Yeah, I mean, they'll say move up, and so that's the answer there. But there's no doubt the amateur has been punished with this move because the pros and the manufacturers didn't want to go with it, and the LPGA was stunned today, going, oh, we didn't think we were involved in this, but I guess we are. They're not going to be happy.
Right. No one's going to be happy.
Well, the facts that like Jeff Shackelford, you know, the architect nerds out there are rejoicing. They're like the Taliban. Turn that music off. We're going backwards in time to when you couldn't drive it past 284 off the tee, when Dan Pohl led the tour in driving distance.
And what fun is that?
Huh?
What fun is that? And the other thing is, you know, when I play a golf course, oftentimes, even though I'm not playing those tees, a new golf course, I'll go back to the back tees because sometimes it's one of the most beautiful parts of the golf course to see it from the back tees.
Right.
And so all of a sudden now the people who are playing those tees is greatly reduced. And it's a shame because those golf courses that were built in the new era have some gorgeous, gorgeous areas from way back. And now again, it's just, it becomes obsolete.
Yeah.
And in the other direction, we're going to have to build tees forward.
Yeah. Well, and I can promise you, I've never had a customer come in here and say, how are these three golf balls compare? And to be able to say, well, this one's certain distance. This one's only 3 yards shorter. And this one's only 5. And they go, okay, I'll take the one that's only 5 yards shorter.
Yeah, right.
They're going to take every yard they can get.
I cannot wait for the arguments at club tournaments that erupt over this guy has an illegal ball. He may have a completely conforming ball, but it won't matter if the guy who loses to him in the singles match of a final, you know, match of the club championship, if he blows it past him on just one hole, that golfer will lose his mind. He'll insist.
I've told the story before on the air that I was at Woodmont one year, and Bobby Clampett came into the golf shop and he said, "Do you have a club repair room?" "Yeah." He went back there with a hacksaw and sawed a Titleist in half because he was guaranteeing that something was different about that. Now, is that what I'm going to do during the member guest? I'm sorry. I'll have to have that ball. Let me go back and saw it in half and see if it's conforming. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know how the manufacturers are going to have to, I mean, come up with new brands at that point. I mean, are you going to have a Pro V1? 2030, how are they going to differentiate that too?
I don't know. That, you know, they'll figure out a way to dress it up and sell it as something sizzly and shiny and new, and guys like me will buy it and, you know, whatever. I did buy stock though in a lot of lake recovery companies, like golf ball lake recovery companies. Like those stocks are up across the board.
What's that? Yeah. They don't have actual stock? Okay.
If they had stocks for Ed's Lakeland, Florida-based pond recovery golf ball service, By the way, do you think the average person listening right now who's not a Super Golf fan, and we appreciate you hanging through this, we're about done, and I'm going to ask the boys a couple of football questions, but do you think the average non-golfer knows how golf balls are taken out of lakes?
Oh, no. No, but that would be a great story for them to learn about the maniacs who are down in Florida swimming with alligators in a wetsuit, taking golf balls and selling them for 50 cents.
For those of you non-golfers, it's not like lakes on a golf course or ponds have a neat little net that sits under the water and they just pick it up and all the balls fall to the bottom and they dump it out. And it's not like they can just take a giant rake on a pole and drag all the balls out of there, because some of them are way out there, 10 feet, 12 feet deep, and they're stuck in the mud. So literally a guy in a wetsuit with a scuba tank is down in the muck, zero visibility, snapping turtles, snakes, and yet alligators, hand by hand, grabbing balls out of the mud, putting them into a bag. And that's what he does for a job. Well, it's okay. I really don't want to do this today, but it's my job and I get paid, so let's go.
And most of them only have like 8 fingers. So it's good.
Called lefty. All right. What's up, boys, on football? I know you both are sportsmen at heart. You're not just golfers. Buddy, your Commanders are a gosh dang dumpster fire, but they're not yours anymore. You jump ship to the Packers like me.
No, I came back, Zabe. I came back because the owner is gone. So I had to come back. And you know what? Okay. I was certainly no help to the Packers last year as in my year of fandom there, which, by the way, you know, from several visits to Lambeau, I had my reasons for going with the Packers, and I still like the Packers and still root for your Packers.
Okay.
I am back to the Commanders.
All right.
We'll see where it goes.
And, yeah, it's a disaster right now.
It's a disaster.
Yeah. The end of the year can't come soon enough for them to fire everybody, clean house, and start over.
No doubt.
Well, my two teams, I think, have a combined wins of 5, where I root for the home team, so the Commanders, but I'm a Patriots fan. So great year for me.
So, Ronas, what do you think about Belichick right now?
He's got to go. Yeah, but I mean, there's no question he's got to go.
Do you think he is, because you're a coach yourself of young golfers, he's, you know, as a coach, do you think he's humiliated by this?
Is he humiliated? Yeah. He looks at himself in the mirror and he says, these kids are soft and they can't play in my system. And I don't know if he thinks that it's passed him by, but the fact is that he doesn't blame himself. He blames the culture of the youth.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now, Belichick's never wrong.
Bill Belichick.
Never wrong.
Terrible GM, that's for sure. The defense is still playing hard. They have held opponents to 10 points or fewer 3 straight games, and they're 0-3. That hasn't happened in the league since 1938.
I think Belichick, the one thing that really they have to say is Belichick is a miserable talent picker, if you want to call it. And not only in players, in coaches.
Oh.
Yeah. Because if you take a look at his tree of coaches who have gone.
Yeah. But they worked under him when they had Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's Brady. It's Brady. It's obvious. He's the greatest player to ever walk the planet.
And Dave, you see him coming here to Washington then after all of that?
No way. Nobody's coming to Washington. Not until you get a new stadium. Not until you get a new stadium and the stink of Snyder, like a terrible fart after Taco Bell, finally clears the room. It's going to be years before that smell wafts away, and you need a stadium.
Yeah.
Nobody, no player, no coach of any significance is going to come and look at that dump and say, yes, I'd like to come to work here eight times a year or out at Redskin Park, or excuse me, Commander's Field Yard Training Center with the bubble, with the bounce house. The only NFL team that's still practicing in a bounce house. So
it's unbelievable.
As well as Zabe, how far is Lambeau's practice facility from their stadium?
38 steps, right?
Yeah, so like, I know I went to Cincinnati one year for a flag football championship. Their practice field's right next to the stadium. We're talking Ashburn and Maryland right now. I mean, that's a joke.
That's separated by how many miles and how many teeth-gnashing moments trying to navigate. Oh, God.
It's a nightmare.
All right, boys, great talk, and we look forward to reassembling the golf nerds in full with Mr. Gould for even more golf stuff. We're going to start a new regime for the Capital Golf Gang in 2024. So we'll let everyone know about that when we get our act organized. Otherwise, Merry Christmas. And I'll leave
it. Merry Christmas, fellas.
Same to you guys. And hey, get out and play some golf this weekend. It's going to be warm around here.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Yeah, and buy some stuff at Buddy's Shops.
Right.
All right. See you, boy.
I'll see you.
All right, one last item to send you off with today. I know this is mostly a visual thing, but you can look it up. Dale Irby, I-R-B-Y, gym teacher, Dallas, Texas, in 1974 began his career as a gym teacher, as a humble gym teacher. Hey, quit that grab ass. Get those balls in the bin there. We got to go here. Come on now. In 1974, Irby realized he had worn the same outfit the previous year on picture day. What was the outfit? It was a off-yellow collared shirt and a sort of camel-colored vest, sweater vest. He has glasses and a mustache. So back-to-back years, same outfit. Did he say to himself, you know what? I'm going to change this up. Got to make a note of this. Picture day. Wear something different. No, he did the opposite. He leaned into it. His wife, Kathy, dared him to wear the same outfit the next year. So he did. And the year after that. And the year after that. And the year after that. So we now have a 40-panel photo collage of gym teacher Dale Irby wearing the same Dwight Schrutian outfit on picture day. Similar glasses, same gym teacher tight mustache. Hair was graying, but he stayed relatively fit through the years. And there it is. That, my friends, is nothing short of a 40-year work of art. Coach Irby, may you enjoy your retirement, my friend, and well played. Well played. That's a wrap for me today, and that is the end of your free portion of the Zabecast. If you would like to subscribe to 5 days a week and know that you're contributing to the ongoing efforts of me buying equipment, returning equipment, and always chasing that extra 1% of audio fidelity, well, then subscribe and become a Zabecast 1%er and get Fridays where I've got Scott and Solly, the old gang, back together to go through your looking live during football season, plus Mr. X and his picks. And just to help contribute. If not, that's fine. We all have a budget. We buy stuff. We return stuff. We get streaming services. We cancel them like Peacock. We bring them back on. Come and go as you please. You do get 12 months for the price of 11 if you sign up for a year. Otherwise, go month to month and cancel whenever you want. I will let you go without any fight, fuss, or argument. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.